Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. First off, I hope everyone had a nice long three-day weekend. As you know, the U.S. markets are closed on Monday, February 18th for President's Day. That's why the newsletter is coming out today on Monday instead of Sunday. I was also out of town on the weekend. Anyway, got a lot to cover here, guys. Got 110 charts here, so quite a few charts. Actually, there's 114, I'm sorry. Quite a few charts here. Seven items to, as you can see, in the table of contents. So it's going to take me a while to cover everything. Again, pretty much the general theme that we like to keep on the weekend. First off, we cover, you know, what happened on the previous week. We look at upcoming economic news releases, what the market indexes did. We look at the big picture monthly, weekly, and daily, and intraday. We have a focus on the S&P 500, but we look at the other major indexes, Dow, NASDAQ, Russell. Then we do an in-depth look at various market indicators. We look at bonds. We also look at sector charts, commodities, precious metals. Also, at the very end, I'm going to cover some of the 401k systems. I do want to have some clarification there. I am making some major changes to that area, so I'll just briefly cover it. All right, guys. I'm also going to make a comment about the SPY system. As you know, I took the SPY system offline a while back, but I am going to bring it back. Not yet, but I will be bringing it back here sometime. Again, you know, anyway, let's go ahead and get started. We'll talk about that later. So let's move on to item number two. So item number two shows the index sector table and what transpired last week. Again, the market continues this mammoth rally. We've had a V rally off the December 26th lows. Just small pullbacks here and there that last only a couple days. Market's been in this relentless uptrend, basically holding the 9 EMA, the 90 exponential moving average on the whole uptrend, which is a very strong trend. So you can see down S&P gained anywhere from 3.1% to 2.5% respectively, the NASDAQ 2.4%. The Russell small caps outperformed last week up 4.2%. As far as the major market sectors, every single one of them were up on Friday, and every one of them was up for the week except for utilities. Again, so pretty broad-based rally here. Rising tide is raising all ships, basically. Again, pretty good gains here. Energy sector up 5%. Oil services up 6.5%. That was the biggest gain for the week on the sectors. Transports up 3.8%. Banks, financials up about 3%. What else we got here? Biotech up 4.5%. Industrials up 3.5%. So you name it, pretty strong gains here across the board. As far as the U.S. dollar, still continues strong, up 0.3%. And as far as commodities, most commodities were up. As you can see, the general commodity index, DBC, was up 2.7%. Crude oil up 6.2%. Nice rally off the 50-day moving average. Gasoline, guys, which I had as a long idea last week, up 20%. Remember, I said gasoline looked like a low-risk long. And that had a big rally, so not sure if anyone bought that, but nice rally there. Natural gas up 1.6%. So it is trying to bounce a little bit off the lows. I do believe there's a low-risk long there setting up, potential wedge forming. We'll talk about that when we get to that. Again, that's quite a few charts later. Copper, though, down 0.43%. Wheat and coffee were down. Agriculture slightly up. Precious metals, gold up 0.5%. Silver just slightly down. And GDX slightly up 0.4%. But I do like the area. GDX, the gold stocks in particular, you know, formed some kind of flag action, started breaking out on Friday. I do believe we could see some follow through to the upside there. So I have some long ideas in that area. And as far as bonds, high yield corporate bonds continue to be on a tear. As you know, they've taken out their September highs, up another 0.7%. TLT 20-year bonds down 0.3%. It's forming sort of a triangle pattern. Next, item number three shows the economic news calendar for this week. Again, we have a shortened week, only four trading days. Not much on the news here. Well, we do have the FOMC minutes on Wednesday. Going to be interesting to see what they say. And as far as earnings, we're mostly through earnings season. The market did well during earnings season, which it typically does. But we're now kind of nearing the end of that. Could still be a few stragglers here reporting. You can check those by clicking that yellow link below. All right, guys, let's move to the charts. So the first chart below, item number four, is a monthly chart of the major indexes. Again, you can see we had that big rally in January. Major indexes were up anywhere from 7% to 11%. And this month, they're up anywhere from 3 to 4%. So heck of a rally off the December 26th lows. They haven't fully recovered their highs, their September highs. The Dow was the closest. But again, heck of a rally we've had so far this year. Next. Chart number five, here's the weekly view. Again, we've had this straight up rally. So we had that 13-week correction last year. And now we've had an 8-week rally. 8 weeks up in a row, as you can see. So basically last year we had a ABC correction. We've now had 8 weeks up in a row. Very relentless and a V-type rally. I left the Fibonacci retracement lines here on the Dow and S&P because, remember, over the last week or couple weeks, the market indexes have been up near the 61.8% Fib. We were wondering if that would be an area where the market indexes would finally pause, maybe pull back. All they did was pause there and, of course, had a big rally right through it this week, as you can see. Now, the next area of contention is the 76.4% Fib. So that's your next Fib on the S&P. That's around the 2800 area, which I'll cover in a minute. Next. Chart number six. Here's a daily chart of the major indexes. So again, you can see this huge rally we've had. We bottomed on December 26th. We had basically a one-day pullback in early January. And ever since, we've been this relentless rally up with, you know, maybe just a couple day pullback in a row. Major indexes have basically been following their 9-day exponential moving averages, this whole rally up. The next resistance area, which I point on here, is the horizontal dotted lines. That's basically the December highs. Now that on the S&P, that's 2,800. That is also that 76.4 Fib area, which I talked about above, and I'll talk about more when we get to the S&P charts below. But all the indexes here are approaching their December highs. The Russell, which is at the very bottom, slightly broke its December highs. Its next resistance area is the early November highs. Next. Chart number seven is a monthly view of the S&P, up 2.64% this month. Had a big rally in December. Again, been a very volatile market. We had that top in September last year. Very strong correction. The correction went a little below the 23.6 Fib, and we've rallied back quite a bit. You know, last year, in the fall timeframe, Steve and I were quite bearish. We had negative divergence on the weekly and monthly timeframes. You could see it on the RSI indicators here. We had possible 5-wave completion uptrends, etc. So we were expecting a decent correction, and boy, we got a big correction last fall into December. But we were expecting over time for the market to, say, work lower, maybe down to the 38% Fib over time. So is that now gone? Are we simply going to rally back to new highs? It is definitely possible, guys, with how far we've rallied. It's still possible we could still form a lower high and go down. I don't think we're totally out of the woods yet, but of course, the farther we go, the more odds start to favor new highs. Again, I think markets move faster than they used to in the past, especially with all the Fed intervention, central banks, etc. Again, we had negative divergence on the RSI indicators, even on the MACD last September. A couple things that are still a little bearish here are the MACD, the monthly MACD crossed negative last year, as you know, and that MACD is starting to kind of curl a little bit, but it's going to be a long time for that monthly MACD to cross back to the upside, as you see. Okay, so it's going to be a long time before that happens. And generally on monthly charts on the S&P, generally the MACD just by itself is a pretty good guide about catching those longer term trends. It's not perfect by any means. You know, you can, you know, just take a look at the chart. Look back in 2009, the MACD crossed the upside back in mid 2009. It had a little negative cross in 2011, but came right back. It then crossed in 2015 bearishly. And the market was basically a little one-year bear market there. And it came right back in 2016. So the fact that the MACD had a negative cross here is a bearish thing. It's a negative. Okay, it's going to take a long time for that MACD to go to cross back to the upside. That's why I don't think the market will just continue running and running and running. We will, even if the market goes back to new highs, continues this strong bull market, I think we're going to be due for some decent pullbacks along the way. Also, if you look below the 14 stochastics, well, that's coming back above 50, so that's a positive. The 60 stochastic is still below 80, so that's a negative. Okay, so some positives and negatives on the chart. Again, the MACD, the fact that it's still so negative here, still so far away from crossing, definitely has my attention in the longer term. Next. Chart number 8, here's another chart. Oh, by the way, in the chart above, go back to that a minute, chart number 7. So Steve talked about the 10 and 20 month simple moving averages as nice guides for longer term trends. And you can see those moving averages on the chart. They do a pretty good job about, you know, catching the overall trend. They're not perfect. They cross kind of late. But when we had that correction last year, they never crossed. They got close, but they didn't cross. So chart number 8 here is another monthly chart. And on this chart, I'm using an 8 and a 13 month EMA. So this is a little more responsive. Again, it's not going to catch bottoms or tops, but you can see they cross a little bit earlier, but they still don't really whipsaw you. They still catch, you know, most of the decline in 2000 to 2003. They get back in, they cross in early 2008 to the downside. They cross back positive in later 2009. And during this whole 10-year bull market, they've gotten close to crossing, as you can see, pension at times in 2011, 2015, but they didn't really cross. And even last year, they got really close, but they never crossed. So that's a pretty good guide for longer term trends on the S&P is the 8 and 13 monthly exponential moving averages. Okay. Next, chart 9, here's a weekly view. Again, we've had 8 weeks up in a row. We had nice positive divergence on the 5 RSI length indicator when the S&P was at the lows in December. The S&P also tagged its 200-week moving average there in green. So we expected a rally. Again, did we expect a rally, a V rally this far up this quickly? No. But we expected a rally and we got it. I expected a rally up to the 61.8 Fib at least, and we've exceeded that. The 5 RSI is now at 70, almost 74%, so it's back to overbought. Next, chart 10. Here's another weekly view of the S&P. This has the move and average configuration on it. So Steve talked about it last week, and even with the move up this last week, with the S&P up another 2.5%, notice the move and averages are now pinching together here. Again, they went the move and average ribbon went bearish last fall, and the 9 EMA, see how it's curling back to the moving averages, the longer moving averages, that is the area where it could fail, okay? So the fact that the moving averages are pinching here from a bearish configuration has my attention. That's an area where, again, we could at least pause and pull back, or maybe something worse, could put in a decent top and go all the way back and test the lows. But either way, this is an area where the 9 EMA is approaching the longer moving averages here from the underside. That's an area where it could start to fail. Okay. Also, you can see on the price action, I have the Fibs. We obviously exceeded that 61.8 Fib quite a bit with last week's rally. The next significant Fib is the 76.4 area. that's the 2800 area. So honestly, in the short term, that would be my target. On some further upside, would be around the 2800 area. That also matches a daily pivot on our daily pivots chart. So I think if we get some more upside, that could be a target, but that can be an area, guys, to really look finally for some sort of pullback. Next, let's move to the daily S&P chart. So chart 11, here's the daily S&P with the moving average ribbon. Again, this provided some nice shorts last fall. The moving averages, you can see, the moving average ribbon got really, really wide in December. So the way I use the moving average ribbon is obviously whenever they pinch, but also whenever the moving average ribbons gets really wide, you're also due for a snap back in price, and that's what you got. Moving average price rallied up. The moving average, the 90 MA just continued higher, and the moving average on the daily chart, the moving average ribbon, of course, is bullish. You can see we've had this sort of V-ish rally up. We had a bull flag, bull pennant pattern set up a couple weeks ago, which broke to the upside, and we continue higher here. Now, we are forming some RSI divergence up here. Again, the 76.4 Fib area is 2800. That's just above. That also matches the December, early December highs. So that's an area to definitely monitor this week if we get some more upside movement. Next, chart 12. Here's another daily S&P 500 chart. We took out that little downtrend line last week. Again, you could see the 76.4% Fib area just above. Obviously, we're above all the moving averages now. Those can be support on a pullback. Next, chart 13. Here's another daily view. It shows you the importance of the 9 EMA, which is a very good indicator for short-term strong trends. Again, the 9 EMA, I think, is something everyone should have on all their charts. It's always a very good guide for shorter-term moves. Again, we've had a very strong move up here. A very simple way to draw this is an uptrend channel, as I show from the December lows. The move up appears to be some sort of five-wave uptrend. Once this move does end, guys, I do think we'll get a decent ABC correction once it ends, okay? It continues strongly up. So again, your short-term support is the 9 EMA, of course, or this channel. And of course, more upside movement if we get that this week. The 2800 area, I'll be watching the 76.4% Fib area. Next, chart 14. Here's the daily pivots charts. You can see the daily pivots has a the next pivot is up there at, there's one at 2780, which we're basically right at, and there's the 2798. Round that up to 2800. So that pivot matches the 76.4 Fib. Next, chart 15, here's the daily S&P with the BPTMA Deluxe and other indicators. The BPTMA Deluxe has been green since January 22nd, so no changes there. The fast one did have a one-day red back there in January, but it quickly flipped back green, okay? So the BPTMA Deluxe has done a really good job about catching the major trend here, as you can see. The moving average ribbon, you can see it there. On a pullback, besides the uptrend line I showed above, the ATR trailing stop, which you see here, is a good guide. That's been a good support. That's now moved up to 26.96. 2695.78. So that's a support area on a pullback, guys. The BPTMA Deluxe, again, when will it go red? It's going to take a nice pullback to get it to go red at this point. Now, the faster one could flip red pretty quickly. That's why I added the fast one here, guys, because sometimes we want to see that we want a faster response. But either one has done a pretty good job here, I think. Next, chart 16. Now, this image shows the SPY system. This is the SPY breakout system. So unfortunately, this system actually went long on January 18th and January 22nd. So it actually did pretty good about, you know, staying long here the last few weeks. Now, why didn't I send out this trade signal? Well, that's part of the issue, guys. That's part of the reason why I took the SPY system off the website for the time being. Remember, I said I didn't take the SPY system off the website because it was in a short and had a bad trade. I took it off the website because I need to make sure I have all the rules fully decided on and not multiple versions. Okay. So I've actually had the spy breakout system for a couple of years now. But, you know, there's also things I've wanted to do with it. You can see some, you know, kind of whipsaw trades back there last year, say in May, that was a losing trade. There was a couple, you know, choppy trades last year. This trade here would be a good trade. Okay. So there's some things I still want to do with this. Regarding the spy system, I got all these different versions. I want to fully decide, hey, these are the versions of the subsystems that I'm using. This is the combination I'm using. And that's it. And not, you know, have all these other variations to pick and choose from. I want the rules simple. I want them set. And so I'm not going to bring the spy system back until I have that done. But guys, I will bring it back, but only after I have all these systems decided on in our final versions. Okay. You know, the problem is we've been trading the spy system, you know, with me still tinkering with it. And that's, you know, led to some bad trade signals and decisions. So I hope you understand that. I know some of you subscribe to the website specifically for the spy system. But I will be bringing it back sometime this year. Okay. Anyway, another reason I bring this up is because the spy breakout has been long here since, say, mid-January. But it's also got a trailing stop. Its current stop is around 270 on the SPY. So you can see there, it's just over that last higher low. So that could be an area you can monitor for a stop if you're long, perhaps. That's one main reason I'm showing you this. And that's another thing about this, the breakout system. It will have bad trades, as you can see, but it has a stop out area. It will never get caught just holding a bad trade. You know, it'll just stop out. Next. Chart 17, here's SPXU, a daily chart. That's the inverse ETF for the spot S&P. That's the three times ETF. Again, because the market is nearing some nosebleed territories in the short term, I am keeping an eye on this. Has a little wedge-like in the short term. You can see there's even some MACD divergence. So I am watching this in case the market does reverse. This is also something you could look at if you have a bunch of longs that you want to hedge. You know, you have a bunch of longs that you don't really want to sell, but you want to hedge them. This could be an instrument. Again, I would wait for a trigger. There's obviously no trigger here. Okay, you need to see some reversal, but got to keep an eye on this. Next, chart 18. Here's a S&P 500 chart from back in 2015 and 16. So what I want to point out, guys, is we've had a heck of a V rally from the December lows, but we will get a pullback here eventually, okay? Even under a very bullish case when we just continue to make go on in this bull market, look in 2016 after that big rally, we call that a wave three, you had a decent ABC correction there. You see that? So if you got a lot of cash in the table and you're still wanting to deploy it, I still think your best bet is perhaps waiting for one of those, you know, a decent ABC type correction. That's my thinking. You obviously do what you want to do, but that's my thinking. Once we get a decent ABC type correction, we've ended this first initial wave, we'll probably at least get a retracement, about a 38% retracement, kind of like you've seen back here. Now, back in late 2015, that rally retraced most of that correction, and it came all the way back down. So, you know, something like that could also happen with the market too. But anyway, I'm just wanting to point out, guys, the V rally in the market won't continue forever. Even under a very bullish case, you will have a decent ABC correction. Likely to a 38% fib will be your better area to deploy a lot more capital versus chasing way up here. Next, chart 19. So this is what I'm talking about, basically. Once this initial strong move ends, okay, whether it's right here or from 2800 area or even from higher prices, you will have a decent ABC correction sometime. Likely, say, a 38% retracement under a very bullish case, be like a wave two and then rally again. That, to me, that's the better time to deploy a lot more capital versus chasing up here. Or again, you know, it's possible this is still, you know, some sort of wave B and we go all the way back down again. But obviously, the further we go, the bulls start to have a better case. Next. Moving to the intraday charts, chart number 20, here's a 60-minute view. Again, this strong uptrend continues. This is the this has the moving average ribbon, and honestly, this has been a really good guide. Every time the moving average ribbon is pinched, we've had good rallies. See that? Even last week. Now, another thing to keep an eye on, guys, is symmetry. Symmetry is a really good guide. You can see so far in the uptrend, since the January lows, the largest pullback has been 62 points. That was in just later January there on that triangle pattern. And the pullback in February into February 8th was 57 points. So they basically matched. So price rallied within 5 points of the previous point pullback. Guys, keep an eye on symmetry, because if you were watching that, you could have bought that pullback or started scaling into some longs there. This also tells you probably that a lot of bots, a lot of algos are trading the market. I think a lot of algos follow the symmetry. So clearly, this is a good guide to keep an eye on. And in order for the market to break symmetry, it needs a pullback larger than 62 points. On this last move from last week, we now do have some MACD divergence again. You can see here, it could be lost on a further move to the upside, but it is here. You can see the last time we had some MACD divergence in early February, we got a pullback there. We got that wave four. This appears to be some sort of wave five, sort of wedging at this point. I drew an uptrend line here to monitor for this week. Next, chart 21, here's a 15-minute view. Here you can see this wedge-like pattern. I drew it in here. Again, we'll see if that plays out or not for a pullback in the short term. Again, if we thrust to the upside, the 2800 area, the 76.4% area would be a target. Next, chart 22, here's the Dow weekly view, up 3% this month already. This is the index that has rallied the furthest back so far. Next, chart 23, here's a daily view. Simply, I'm drawing a tight uptrend channel because this has been a V rally, very tight rally. The next resistance area is the 26,000 area, the December 3rd highs, just approaching. There is some RSI divergence to point out. Next, chart 24, IWM, Russell 2000 weekly view. This closed just over the 61.8 fib last week. I have the fibs reversed here. Sorry about that. This index has been lagging the other major indexes, which are quite, have retraced quite a bit more, but this came back quite a bit nicely last week. Next, chart 25, here's the daily view. You can see it's approaching its 200-day moving average. The other indexes are now above their 200-day moving average. And of course, there's the October highs just above. Next, chart 26, here's a 60-minute view. The 60-minute view still looks bullish. There's no MACD divergence here. Still looks very strong. Next, chart 27, here's the triple Qs. This is slightly over its 200-day moving average. It does have a wedge-like look to it here, so keep an eye on that. So unless the market really follows through, this definitely has my attention. Next, chart 28, here's a 60-minute view. You can see a wedge-like pattern with some MACD divergence, just like the S&P. So there you go, guys. We'll see what happens early this week, okay? All right, let's take a look at some major indicators. Chart 29, here's the VIX. The VIX did indeed bounce off the lower Bollinger Bands I was talking about, which is where it's found support all year. But that bounce has been stalled now twice at the middle Bollinger Bands. And of course, VIX sold off hard on Friday. Smacked down hard right at that middle Bollinger band. Now, there is still some RSI divergence above, so I would still keep an eye on that, guys. Next, chart 30, here's the breadth thrust indicator. As you know, this went on a buy signal back in early January, and the market's had a big rally since then. Markets generally have a decent rally after a breadth thrust signal. They start new bull markets many times, sometimes they don't. But we've had a nice rally here. We had some divergence here, which did result in at least a couple-day pullback over last week, but we've rallied back again. Next, chart 31 is the BPSPX, the bullish percent S&P chart. This is a quasi-mechanical system. It's a nice, clean Renko chart. The buy and sell signals are very clear, as you can see, via the MACD crosses and parabolic SAR. You can see I have the buy and sell signals there. It's not perfect. It does whipsaw you from time to time. But when the market has a strong trend, it will keep you in that trend. This went green for a buy signal on December 28th. So it did better than the BPTMA Deluxe, which went green on January 2nd. So SSO was 91.50 there. SSO is now 113. So that's a damn good signal, guys. Anyway, obviously, it's not even close to going to a sell signal. It's going to take a nice pullback for this to do that. The next pullback could be a whipsaw, guys. Typically, I've noticed after a big trend, you know, you're more prone to a whipsaw. But I think it's getting close. Take a look at the MACD and PPO indicators. They're basically pinching together here. So momentum is definitely waning. Next. Chapter 32. Here's the NASDAQ McClellan summation indicator. You get your buy and sell signals when the 2 and 5 exponential moving averages cross. Again, it's not perfect by any means, but it's, you know, does a pretty good job when the market is trending. And this is obviously still in a buy signal. Next. Chart 33, here's the summation index. Comp plotted as a cumulative. You can see this went black back in late January, and it's pushed higher. It hasn't crossed back over the 34 EMA, but it's getting close. That tends to be the dividing line between major trends. Again, this indicator tends to lag. You know, we've had a big rally up here, and it still hasn't crossed back over there. Next, chart 34. Here's the triple Qs with the NASI indicator. This went negative back in early October, and it gave a confirmation sell signal there. So it did a pretty good job about catching the top. But it, you know, and this also went back green in late January. Didn't quite catch the bottom as well as you'd expect, but it did go back on a buy signal there. You can see the past signals. Again, the way I typically avoid whipsaws is using the whipsaw confirmation whenever this flips from negative, you know, above or below zero, I look for a confirmation candle. So for example, back in early 2018, whenever it went negative above there, whenever it went below zero, you filtered those out because you didn't get a confirmation candle following through. So you just stayed long. But you did get a confirmation sell in early October. And of course you got a confirmation buy here pretty late off the lows in late January. Next. Chapter 35, here's the NAHL cumulative chart. This has been a pretty good guide about bull and bear markets. This also crossed in early October, crossed below its 50 EMA for a sell signal. It tends to be better on sell signals, by the way, guys, just like it was back there in 2015. They crossed back in August for a sell signal. So we've had a big V rally up in the market, but this is still nowhere close to crossing back over its 50 EMA. Next, chart 36, here's the CPC put-call ratio. Again, keep an eye on this, guys, if the market continues higher. Whenever this gets down in this range, especially if it gets a little bit lower, the market tends to have pullbacks. You get complacency. All right, moving on to bonds. Chart 37, TLT 20-year bonds, down 0.3% for the week. No changes on the major trends. Next, chart 38, here's the daily view, sort of forming a triangle-like pattern. Next. Chapter 39, high yield corporate bonds continues to make new highs. Been a very impressive rally off the lows, way above its September-October highs now. There is MACD divergence now forming though. Next, chapter 40, here's the comparison chart of the S&P to the high yield corporate bonds. Again, the 10 tend to move together. And that's one thing that's been bullish in the market, the fact that the bonds have been outperforming, you know, since the lows has helped pull the market up. Next, chart 41, here's the 10-year treasury yield. This is the big picture view. Again, it is trying to find some support at the broken channel line. This is a 31-year channel. So I do expect it to find support ultimately and go higher. Again, this is a monthly chart, guys. It's going to take a long time for this to flesh out. Realize that. But I do believe, you know, the low in interest rates was put in a couple years ago. And the long-term trend is now up. Next, Chart number 42, here's the yield curve. We haven't shown this for a while. It's at 1.06, the ratio. Remember, a ratio below 1 indicates a coming recession. So despite the big market rally, this really hasn't improved much. It is still something to monitor this year if it does go negative. Okay, if it goes negative, that'll be a good indication of a coming recession. Next, let's look at some longer-term economic indicators. Chart number 43, here's the unemployment rate. So this ticked up to 4%. Here I have two very fast moving averages, the 5 and 9 monthly moving averages. You can see they're starting to pinch here. Okay, they haven't really crossed definitively the upside, but it's something to monitor for a bigger trend change eventually. Okay, you also have MACD divergence. Now I'm using the PPO. That's the same as a MACD. It just works better on a, you know, larger time frame when you have bigger moves. So anyway, you do have divergence here. Moving averages pinching. Also look at your ROC indicator. That's up near the zero area, above the zero. Tends to be, would signal an uptrend. So definitely something to keep an eye on over time. Again, we did have the government shutdown. That could be a reason for a lot of these indicators starting to look a little more bearish. So we'll have to see if they, you know, come back down, but definitely something to keep an eye on over time. Next, chart 44, here's the unemployment level. Here I use the 10 EMA. You can see it crossed above the 10 EMA here. Now you want to see confirmation, but along with some divergence here, this is something that has my attention. You know, could we be having a trend change here, perhaps? Or an early example of a trend change? Next. Chart 45, here's the unemployment claims. Here I use the 5 and 9 exponential moving averages. Notice, they've crossed nicely to the upside now. Okay, that hasn't happened since the last real good cross was in early 2010, late 2009 for the downside. So that has my attention too. Could we be seeing a trend change over time? Next, chart 46, here's the producer price index. This has had a big drop. Now, this obviously could be affected by the government shutdown we had, but definitely a big move there. So guys, definitely these longer term indicators are something to keep an eye on, okay? All right, let's move on. We'll look at a few of the market sectors. Chart 47, transports continue ever higher. Now it's up near the 200-day moving average. Next, chart 48, here's a 60-minute view. Note, there is some MACD divergence at this point to be aware of. Next, chart 49, banks, another rally here. Notice the 9 and 20 moving averages pinched together. When you get that, you tend to get nice moves. On this next move, though, you do have some MACD divergence to monitor, though. Next, chart 50, XLF, financials, similar look. 200-day moving average, though, just above. Next, chart 51, technology, XLK, slightly above its 200-day moving average now. Doji candlestick. Next, chart 52, semiconductors, continues higher. Black candle on Friday. Again, it is kind of looks a little overbought to me. Next, chart 53, real estate. Boom. This has been a hell of a rally. Look at this. Almost like high yield corporate bonds. Just has rode this 9 EMA since early January. Next, chart 54, home builders, continues higher. Again, we've had a nice little recovery here in the housing market area, and you can tell that on these sectors. Next, chart 55, utilities, still uptrending, holding the 9 EMA. Next, chart 56, retail, been consolidating the last few weeks, trying to break out of this pattern of the upside. Next, chart 57, consumer staples, in a strong uptrend channel here. Next, chart 58, industrials, continues ever higher, and then strong rally, holding the 9 EMA the whole way up. Next, chart 59, energy. This bounced off the 50-day moving average last week ago. It's had a nice rally up. Next, chart 60, oil services, also a nice rally, higher low. Again, we expected higher lows in these energy sectors because of the symmetry breaks. Next, Sharp of 61, biotech continues higher. 200-day moving average could be the next target area. All right, moving on, looking at a few world markets. Sharp of 62, German DAX. I showed this falling wedge back in late December, which played out. Now it has sort of an inverse head and shoulder look to it. The ETF is EWG. It's the way to play it. Let's take a look at that. Sharp of 63, here's EWG. You can see the same pattern. You know, if that pattern plays out, that could be a long, maybe target area up around the 29 area. Next, Sharp of 64, China Shanghai Index. Despite the fact the trade deal really hasn't worked out, it did rally nicely out of the downtrend channel and double bottom, which I pointed out. Next, Sharp of 65, CAF, that was the ETF and a way to play it. Next, Sharp of 66, Canadian Toronto Exchange, V rally up, just like the markets. There is now some MACD divergence here and RSI divergence. So this looks toppy right in here to me. All right, moving on to commodities. Sharp of 67, weekly view of crude oil, up 6.2%, so nice recovery last week. Again, this was a super low risk long back there in December off that weekly doji candlestick that had RSI divergence, which we pointed out. Really nice swing trade off that. Next, Sharp of 68, here's the weekly view. Besides the weekly doji, also had that big support area at the 42, which acted as support in the past. Next, Sharp of 69, USO weekly view. Again, a way to play it was simply buying the ETFs. You had a nice low risk long at 992 off the USO for a nice swing trade. Next, Sharp of 70, here's the daily view. Again, crude oil bounced off that 50-day moving average last week. Formed a higher low. That's where swing stops should go. Next, Sharp of 71, Brent crude oil. I said Brent crude oil looked kind of bullish a couple weeks ago, and it's had a nice move out of there. Next, Sharp of 72, BNO, that's the tradable ETF for Brent crude oil, so that was a way to play it. Next, Sharp of 73, gasoline. I pointed out gasoline early last week. I said it looked bullish, was setting up to a decent pattern, and boy, it's playing out here. Had a big gap on Friday. Look at that, really playing out. Next, Sharp of 74, UGA, that was the ETF. I said that was the way to play it. This would have triggered before Friday, so congrats if you bought it. Had a nice move there. Next, Sharp of 75, natural gas, up 1.63% for the week. I am looking for some support down in here. It's had a big correction from nearly $5, you know, just back in November. Next, Sharp of 76, here's the daily view. You can see it's wedging down with some MACD divergence, so it looks lower risk here. Next, Sharp of 77, here's the triple long ETF, UGAS. This is a way to play it. One I'm monitoring. I did dip my toe a little bit into it with a stop. I will add if I see strength. Next, Sharp of 78, here's a 60-minute view. If you're long, you could probably have a stop right around that 2770 area there, that higher low. You can see the moving average ribbon on the chart. I want to see that cross positively to the upside. Next, Sharp of 79, copper. Pulled back the last week or two, finding some support at the 20 MA here. You can see it's in a big horizontal rectangle pattern, forming a big base. Next, Sharp of 80, corn. Forming another triangle pattern. Next, Sharp of 81, agriculture has a little double bottom support here to monitor. Next, Sharp of 82, sugar. This had a falling wedge, which I pointed out in August last year. That played out, and it formed another wedge into January. I also pointed that out. It looks pretty bullish here, guys. It still looks like it wants higher. Cane is the ETF that I trade. Sharp of 83, here's cane. You can see it had a little breakout on Friday. Still looks positive to me. If sugar goes higher, this should go higher. Next, Sharp of 84, US dollar, daily view. This had a nice pop out of that triangle pattern when the moving averages were pinching there. You see that? Still has support at the 9 EMA. Next, Trevor 85, here's the weekly view. Doji candlestick on the weekly time frame. Next, Trevor 86, here's the Chinese yuan and gold. The two tend to move together a little bit. Gold's been a little stronger here, though, lately. Next, moving to precious metals, Trevor 87, here's gold weekly view, up 0.3% for the week. No changes here. This is the bigger pattern, this big bowl-like pattern, rounded bottom, which we held last year. Long-term resistance is up around 1370 to 1400. Next, Trevor 88, here's the daily view of gold, the moving average ribbon. Gave a nice trade back there in early December when the moving average ribbon was pinching and it crossed to the upside, as you can see. Pullbacks here have been forming bull flag patterns. Nice little move on Friday. Next, Trevor 89, here's the daily view. Your uptrend, your support is this uptrend line. Monitor the GDX-GLD ratio, which is pointing up. Next, Trevor 90, silver, weekly view, slightly down. Next, Trevor 91, here's the monthly view of silver. If we can clear this area, you know, it could have a decent run up into the 20s, perhaps. It's all, everything's all pinched together here, all the moving averages. Next, Trevor 92, here's the daily view of silver. Did pull back over the last week, but you have a higher low in here, guys. Notice your progression of higher lows. That's where your stop can go, that higher low. Next, Trevor 93, here's the daily view with the moving average ribbon. Again, we have our higher lows in place. For a long, if you're not long already, you can go long over this downtrend line here. Your stop should be at that higher low. Next, Trevor 94, palladium. Don't talk about it that much, but boy, this is at a hell of a rally from the August lows. Look at that. From 8.15 all the way to 14.10. Next, Trevor 95, GDX, gold stocks, weekly view, up 0.4% for the week. No changes in the bigger picture. Next, Trevor 96, here's the daily view. You can see the monthly view. We're in this big channel pattern. We rallied off the lower channel line last year. Still got a little ways to get up to the upper channel line. Next, Trevor 97, here's the daily view. We formed a nice bull flag in January. We rallied up and we formed another bull flag, which we talked about last week. Broke out on Friday. So if you're long this, I think you could have a stop at last week's highs, that higher low. Next, Trevor 98, here's another daily view with the moving average ribbon. So again, if you're long this, guys, and I'm long some GDX myself, you could have a stop at Thursday's lows at around 2180, okay? Pretty good area for a stop. Here, I show an example of using the moving average ribbon as a nice buy signal when the moving average ribbon is pinching and the fast stochastics got oversold. Next, Trevor 99, here's the bullish percent Renko chart. This one on a buy signal back in late November. No changes, been a heck of a signal. Next, let's go over some individual names. So Trevor 100, FNV. We were showing this last week as a long bull flag pattern down to the 20-day moving average. Notice the 9 and 20 pinch. This triggered on Friday. If you're long this and you want a swing stop, you could go right around that 73.46 area, the higher low. Notice I have the higher lows designated via the purple dotted lines. We also had this as a long idea, guys, back in January originally on that little triangle pattern. So it was set up again last week and it triggered on Friday. Looks good. Next, Trevor 100, FSM. Another one that we had set up. Triggered on Thursday, followed through on Friday. Nice trade, in fact. It's another breakout level here at 405. Next, chart 102, AEM. Nice rally on Friday. The better way to buy it would have been last Thursday, but you got a level here to monitor. Swing stop would go at that higher low at 41.30. Next, Trevor 43, AG, silver stock. One we showed last week, breaking out of this little pattern. Looks good. Next, chart 104, CDE, silver stock. It's got resistance at the 525 up here, one to watch. Next, Charber 105 WPM. We had this as a long idea back in December and back in January, and it looks good again here. Okay. Next, Charber 106 AUY. This looks okay over the trend line. Again, you got to keep an eye on earnings, guys. This had earnings on Friday. Look what happened. Sold down hard and came back in up. So if you were already long this, you were likely stopped out on Friday. So these earnings, these things can move, guys. You got to be aware of that, though. Next, Charber 107, Goro. It's one we've had on the list for a while. Got higher lows in place. I'd have a stop at the 440 area. That's the last higher low. Next, Charber 108, SBGL. Here's another one. Flagging, one I'm monitoring for a long. And finally, Charber 109, NGD. This is why you have stops in place and why you use discipline and also example of earnings. This is one I've been long. I was long from early January out of that base. I moved my stops up progressively to those higher lows, the dotted blue lines. I then took extra profits at the 200-day moving average, which was a target. I still had some left, guys, and then earnings came out, and bam, look what happened. Big sell-off on Thursday, another follow-through on Friday. I was stopped out of my remaining position at 110 at that higher low. Again, it was still a fantastic trade because I entered this thing back in the 83-cent area, and I took a lot of profits. But this is why you want to have stops and don't get lazy. If you were lazy and you didn't have a stop in place, you didn't look at your account for a few days, you could have given all those profits back. So always, always adhere to your discipline, guys, no matter how much profit you have in the stock, okay? All right, final part of the newsletter. I want to talk about the 401k systems, okay? I already talked about the SPY system. I said I will be bringing that back, you know, sometime this year when I have everything lined up and fully, you know, decided upon so that you guys don't suffer me changing things during the middle. So I'm going to talk about the bigger, longer-term 401k type system. So Charber 110 is the 401k system. As you know, this went red in December after the big sell-off. Okay? So it's done a good job about catching the longer-term trends, but because the markets had such a fast, hard move down last year and then back up, you know, it hasn't been a good time here lately. You know, went red into December, and then the markets had this V rally up. Someone asked me, when's it going to go back green? It's honestly not going to go back green until this moving average turns, the slope turns green, which is going to take a while, guys. Okay, it's kind of like those monthly MACDs I talked about. They aren't even close to crossing. That's how this is. It's not yet close to triggering back long. You know, that's also a problem with the markets, how fast they move now. These monthly systems may not be ideal anymore. They used to be pretty good about catching longer-term trends for the market because the markets tended to roll, you know, and they were fine for, you know, S&P, et cetera, about catching the trends, ignoring noise. But, you know, when your markets move like this, the monthly systems may not be as ideal. But I do have some changes coming. I don't have them finished yet. I did manage to devise some improvements for these monthly systems. So one of the improvements that I'm going to add would be that would have triggered this red back in November. So one of the improvements would be that when the market's very overbought, I would have the indicator turn red earlier, sooner, basically turn off one of the whipsaw factors. That would have triggered this red in, again, November, which would have been a lot better, okay? The other version I have added would be, instead of this indicator going red, say, in December, because we had such a big down move in December, December was about a 10% down month, the indicator would then wait to exit when the 2 RSI got back overbought. So if that change was in place, if you look at the bottom, the 2 RSI, it's back over 70% now. That would have this exiting this month instead of in December. Much, much better prices. So that's a change that we'll be adding to this system, monthly system. Next, Trevor Levin, I've talked about these longer-term systems I've had for these other markets that I don't really have on the website, such as these. Here's international, junk bonds, emerging markets, and TLT. ADR, that's international, has not flipped back long. That's the upper left. Neither has emerging markets. That's the bottom left. High-yield corporate bonds, of course, this did go back long in January. And TLT 20-year bonds went back long in early January as well. Next, Charter 12, here's these other systems. The S&P, this one still hasn't flipped back, the monthly one, that's the left. The Russell 2000 small caps, the bottom left, that one flipped back long in early January. Commodities have not yet, and triple Qs have not. As I've stated, I do have weekly views of a lot of these, and a lot of the weeklies have triggered. Chart 13, here's the S&P, the monthly, which hasn't flipped back yet, on the right, and the weekly view, which did flip back about 3 weeks ago. Flip back long. Next, Chart 14, here's commodities. The monthly has not flipped back, but the weekly has, as you can see, back in early this January. Next, Chart 15, here's the technology. The monthly has not flipped back yet. The weekly has, three weeks ago. Next, Chart 16, here's emerging markets. The monthly has not flipped back. The weekly has not flipped back yet either, but it's close. It could do so this week. It's looking to buy a pullback. And that's it. So that's kind of an example of some of the weekly and the monthlies. Again, I don't have any of that stuff on the website, guys. You know, I'm still kind of fleshing out some of this, some of these changes, but I just wanted to give you an update of what's going on there. So the original monthly stuff, again, really isn't going to flip back yet. That's the issue with monthly charts, guys, is that, you know, we've had these big rallies in the markets and monthly charts just can't respond fast enough. But I am adding some extra filters to the monthly charts, which will help them respond better and more intelligently. All right, guys, that does it. This newsletter is quite long, quite detailed. I'll let you go and enjoy the rest of your day. Take care.